Hello. Welcome to the Spiritual Gifts Podcast, an in-depth look at spiritual gifts and more by Barry Carroll. For more than 30 years, Barry has been passionate about spiritual gifts and has helped thousands of people discover their spiritual place in the church and community. We do not want anyone ignorant of what spiritual gifts can do in the church, and he is eager to share this message with you. Coming to you from sunny Florida, your host, Barry Carroll.
It's good to be back with you again. And this podcast 4 is going to be a bit entertaining, but has a very pointed message as well. And so I would hope that you would catch it. And also, I would ask you to pass this off to 10, 20, 100 people you know, because everybody in the church business can recognize what this is all about here. And I want everybody in the world to hear this who has anything to do with the church. This story is actually copyrighted to a great man named Bruce Bugbee. He has done incredible work in regard to spiritual gifts. And so I called Bruce and he gave me permission to use it. And all he asked is that I put his website in connection with it, which is brucebugbee.com. Bruce is a common spelling, B-R-U-C-E, Bugbee, B-U-G-B as in boy, E-E.com, brucebugbee.com. Check him out. You'll learn a lot of different things about what he offers. And he actually even has classes that will help you discover your spiritual gift, your personal styles, everything. And he's a wonderful teacher as well. So here goes. This is called Imagine a Church. There's a pastor whose name is Bob. He's a good guy, and he's been in his church 5 or 6 years, and he's noticed a trend. And the trend is that people tend to serve in their ministries, in their lay ministries, from about September to June. And if they're not enjoying what they're doing come June, then they resign in June, and they take the summer off. And they don't sign up again in September. Now, Bob's been noticing that the number of people who serve in his church has been dwindling. He wants to turn it around. So Bob gets all pumped up one summer, and he says in August, I will turn this trend around. So he starts pumping up. You know, he works out. He runs laps. He eats healthy foods. He is serious. He's going to turn this around. So the first Sunday of August rolls around, and he's got a church full of people, and he preaches a series, and the first week in that series is entitled, Whatever Happened to Commitment? And he starts beating the commitment drum, and he beats it, and he beats it, and he beats it, and by the end of the sermon, he says, now if you people want to manifest commitment, if you want to show that you love Christ, and that you love this church, then you need to fill out one of the open serving positions that we have in this church. So the next week rolls around. In week 2 of his series, he decides to preach from the text, Deny Yourself, Take Up Your Cross, and Follow Christ. And again, he's pumped up, and he says, Deny yourself means whatever you like to do, stop doing it. And taking up your cross means there are chores to do around the church. Of course, you don't like doing them, but you've got to pick up something like a cross and carry it for the sake of Christ. The third week, he comes back, and he spends the entire sermon reading from Fox's Book of Martyrs. I mean, it's people, Christians getting their heads cut off. It's being thrown to lions in the Colosseum, sewn into animal skins, and ripped apart by dogs. It's being burned at the stake for the faith. And he says at the end of the sermon, I'm not asking you to be burned at the stake. I'm just asking you to teach fourth grade Sunday school. We need a fourth grade Sunday school teacher and a few other positions filled. And if you mean business like our ancestors in the faith did, then I'm asking you to get up and go back and sign that document to sign up. The next week, he decides to pull out all the stops. He gets partway through the sermon, and he takes a little fourth grade girl named Janie up on the platform with him. And he says, Janie, I just want to ask you a few questions in front of the congregation. How's it going to feel for you to be all alone down in your classroom, like no teacher for a whole year? And she, you know, Janie says, boy, it's going to feel pretty awful, Pastor Bob. He says, and isn't it true, Janie, that if kids your age don't get loving instruction from a fourth grade Sunday school teacher, you wind up like using drugs and becoming an alcoholic and bailing out of the faith and all that? Well, she's not too sure of it, she says. I think that's probably true, Pastor Bob. And so then Bob turns to the congregation and says, I don't care if you don't like to teach. I don't even care if you don't like kids. But we need somebody to help Janie for this next year and her friends down there in the fourth grade Sunday school class. So there's this business guy who's been listening all month long. And he had told himself from week one, I'm not going to sign up for anything. I'm not going to serve in this church. I don't have the time. I mean, I'd like to in my heart. I just don't have the time. But you know, he's been getting a case of the guilties as the weeks have been rolling out. And when he sees little Janie down there saying she's going to go on drugs and alcohol if he doesn't teach fourth grade Sunday school class, he finally goes, that's it. Time out. I'll do it. I don't know how to teach, and I don't particularly like kids, but I can't stand it anymore. So afterward, he runs up to Pastor Bob and says, I'll do it. I'll teach fourth grade. So Bob goes home from church that day and he says, I won the August recruitment wars. I filled every position in the church that needed to be filled. Now, he's not asking, did he fill them with the right people? Or are they suited for the positions? Are they going to feel fulfilled? Will they be effective? He's got warm bodies in slots that need to be filled. And you can imagine what happens. This business guy finds out about 4 weeks into his teaching to fourth grade, he doesn't like kids, and he's not a good teacher. And Janie is sitting there in class wondering if it might not have been better to be alone for the whole year than to have this guy who doesn't know how to teach and doesn't like kids. The business guy gets increasingly unfulfilled and frustrated as the year rolls around. He's got his calendar out, and he's marking it down week by week. 47 more weeks, 46 more weeks, 45 more weeks. When June rolls around, he resigns, and he commits to himself. He says, when I'm back in church sitting in the seat in August, and Pastor Bob starts his recruitment wars, when I'm back in this church sitting in this seat in August, and Bob starts his next August recruitment wars, I don't care what he preaches on. I don't care how many chapters from Fox's Book of Martyrs that he preaches. I don't care if he burns my wife at the stake. I will not sign up for another tour of duty like this because it just made me feel empty. Frustrated. I wasn't effective. The kids weren't responsive, and I'll never do it again. Now, I'm telling you that story because many pastors have great hearts, but they are still a lot like Bob. They care more because they feel the pressure of filling those empty positions, these lay positions that must be filled. They just fall into the trap of caring more about filling the empty positions than understanding and teaching their people about spiritual gifts. I grew up in a good church with good pastors who taught the Bible. I left the house. I got married. I moved. I never had heard the term spiritual gifts from the time I grew up till after the time I had been married and moved. And then right there in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, it starts right out. Paul says, whatever you do, don't keep your people ignorant or unaware of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not just another program to lay on a church. Spiritual gifts are the way a church ought to function. It's how it should be organized. It's an entirely different way to operate the church. It's an entirely different way of seeing the church and how it ought to function. I mean, sometimes I dream about what a church could be like someday if it functioned biblically. And sometimes I say to myself, Imagine a church that deep truths are taught, people with the teaching gift, led by leaders, people with the leadership gift, administrated by people with the administrative gift, a church that had evangelists using their evangelism gifts, had mercy people using their mercy gifts, encouragement people, hospitality people using their gifts, people with the gift of giving using their gifts. Imagine a church like that. And when I dream about a church like that, I say to myself, I think that's what every church ought to be like. I think spiritual gifts are not just a side hustle. I think it's a way to think about how churches function. It's the way they're organized. It's the way they're to be activated to do the work of God in and around the church and out in the world. Still, it comes back to people seeing themselves as unique creations of God, the repositories of spiritual gifts given by a gracious God who wanted his children to feel competent and a part of and a contributor to, you know, the greatest endeavor going on the planet, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to the Short and Sweet Spiritual Gifts Podcast. Imagine a church. Next time, we will examine podcast number 5, where we will delve into spiritual gifts beginning. We hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always listen online. Our website is spiritualgiftspodcast.com. There, you can stream the program or download the MP3 for free. Again, that is spiritualgiftspodcast.com. Thank you for emailing this podcast to 5 to 10 family, friends, and church acquaintances who you think will enjoy it. Let us see if God will use you and me to change the direction our churches and country are traveling. Thanks for listening. We look forward to you coming back next time. May God bless you.